I'm just going to forewarn you tonight, this topic is going to be pretty heavy duty. And the reason I say that is because there is no skirting around this topic in Revelation 17. Revelation 17 is wide open for a picture that is on its way, that's in the works right now. And I'm just going to forewarn you tonight, I'm not going to start out by bashing anything. That is not what's happening tonight. But we will share the truth, okay? Is everybody with me on that? I want to show you through the Bible the truth. I want to show you what's happening in our days through the truth. And so as we look at this tonight, we'll be in Revelation chapter 17 if you want to turn there. And as you turn in there, we'll go ahead and just open up with prayer tonight. And again, there's no way around what we're getting ready to read tonight. Because the Bible interprets it in a very certain way, and so does modern society. So as we look at this tonight, let's just pray. Father, we thank you tonight in Jesus' name for being able to be here. God, as we tackle the book of Revelation since September, you have shown us, God, and been so faithful to just reveal and show us some awesome things through this book. And Father, we know that we have been very blessed because we've taken our time going through this book. And God, we have seen your power. Even though times are going to get very, very difficult, we know that you are still in charge. So tonight, as we look at Revelation 17, we pray that you would open up our hearts to see the truth tonight. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, let's start out tonight. As we look at this tonight, as you look at the last days, you would think that religion is going to actually have a downfall, but it's not. It's going to skyrocket. Religion is going to skyrocket, but it's going to be in a bad way. And as we look at religion tonight, we look at what true Christianity is. True Christianity is following Jesus Christ because he is the Christ. And in the book of Acts, they were called Christians first in the book of Acts. From that point, we have been known as Christians since then. And we've also been known as believers in Christ. And there's a lot of different things. The disciples and the apostles said that they follow the way, all right? Not many ways, the way. And they got that from Jesus saying in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So as we look at this tonight, please see through the lenses of the Bible. And again, there's no shortcuts on this one. It is what it is. And what's interesting is that as we jump into Revelation 17 tonight, there is going to be a religious system that is in the works right now. It's going to be one religious system where many religions come together and they tolerate one another. And the problem with that is that the Bible teaches that Christianity can't do that. True Christianity cannot merge with anything else because Jesus does not mix with anything else. Jesus is Jesus. Jesus is the only way to heaven. He is the only Son of God. He does not endorse false prophets. He does not endorse false religions. So as we look at this tonight, Revelation chapter 17 gives us a picture of this religious system that is on its way and that will culminate. So as we look at this here, Revelation chapter 17 verse 5 is where we're going to start tonight. And let me share this. Revelation 16 last week was a picture of the final judgments of God that God will have on this earth. If you read Revelation 16, we went through the seven bowl judgments. Those are going to come, church. Those are going to happen. That is the wrath of God against evil people and against the innocent blood that was shed. We covered all of that. Then you jump to Revelation 19 and you see the return of Jesus Christ. But you have sandwiched right in the middle of that, Revelation 17 and 18. And it gives a picture of what the Antichrist and what this religious system is going to be like, and also his economic system. And so basically Revelation 17 and 18 is a lot of information sandwiched in between what's happening. So as we look at this here, Revelation chapter 17 verse 5 gives us a picture of this new religious system that's on its way. And it says this, it says, and on her forehead, and we'll talk about this in a moment, when you see her or woman in Revelation 17, it's talking about the prostitute, okay, Babylon, all right? And it's talking about this religion that will take all religions and put them together and all this false stuff that's happening. So this is talking about the prostitute unfaithful to God, the unfaithful church. And here's what it says. It says it's going to be a mystery. And it says Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes of the earth's abominations. So I want you to look at that for a moment. It is a mystery how all false religions are going to merge together and come under one umbrella to turn on Christians and turn on God. But however that's going to happen, it comes through tolerance. When you begin to think about tolerance, what is tolerance? Tolerance is, you know what, I will tolerate what you believe, and I'm okay with that. I will accept that. Well, to be honest with you, Christianity doesn't do that. Christianity loves because Christ loves us, but we also have a standard to say we are not going to water down the Bible. We're not going to lower our standards. We will stick with the Word of God no matter what the consequences of that is. So when you begin to look at this here, I want you to see this here because it says Babylon. We're going to look at that tonight. That is very key on what's happening. The mother of prostitutes, all right? This is not just a unfaithful religion to God. This is the mother of all unfaithful religions to God. This is going to be the religion that culminates with all false religions and literally is going to be the mother of all prostitutes towards God. It's going to be very unfaithful to God. And then also the earth's abominations are going to be in this religion. You know, it's interesting. If you begin to watch right now, the church is letting down its guard. It's letting down its convictions. It's letting down its standards. And all kinds of things are flooding into the church, where the church should be the standard for everything. The stereotype of the church is that the church sits back and points its finger at the culture and the community and says, all of you are not going to make it to heaven, and all of you are this, and all of you are that. That's the stereotype of the church, where actually the church should stand up for the Bible in love and say, listen, we will not budge on these things because this is God's word, but we will love you. Okay? I found forgiveness for my sins. You can find forgiveness for your sins too. But the problem that I see and that I run into all the time as a pastor is that people don't want forgiveness. They want acceptance. That is what I run into constantly as a pastor. They don't want to repent of their sins. They want acceptance for their lifestyles. And if it's in the Word of God and God says you need to repent of this lifestyle and get your life right with God, and that could be anything that the Bible lists or anything that doesn't honor God, then guess what? That person needs to do what I did and repent of my sins and give my life to God. Is everybody on the same page there? That doesn't make the church hateful. That makes the church sticking to God's word, going, I had to repent and I had to ask forgiveness for being a sinner. So do you. And if you choose not to, that is your choice. But you will stand before God one day and give an account. So as you begin to look at it, true religion, and I don't even like calling Christianity religion, because Christianity is not religion, it's a relationship. Jesus Christ came to have a relationship with his creation. So I don't even label Christianity a religion. Religion means that you have to do. You have to do this and do that and do this and do that. Christianity means done. Jesus already paid the price. So if he paid the price, we line up with him. So here we go. This is going to get real interesting tonight. And again, please understand the heart of this. This is not bashing denominations tonight, but there's no other way around this because it's crystal clear. So as we look at this tonight, it's going to be a mystery how all these false religions come together, but it'll be under one umbrella. It's going to be under Babylon the Great, the mother of all prostitutes, which will be unfaithful to God, this religion, and the earth's abominations. So the worst of the worst of all sins will be tolerated in this false religion that's coming. And so I want to show you a couple pictures real quick. And as we get into this tonight, picture number one came out just a few months ago. And this is going to be our current Pope. Okay. What you see here is you see Islam, Hindu, you see Buddhist, you see Protestant, you see Lutheran. There's many religions there. A couple months ago, the Pope invited to the Vatican a bunch of religions. And by the time it was done, his quote, and you can look this up, his actual quote was that all these religions lead to the same God. The church, I'm going to be honest with you tonight. In order for us to be the true church and to tackle these issues, we have to call things out as they're happening. So I'm not bashing tonight, but I am showing that you do not see Christianity, true Christianity, trying to mix false religions in together and accept it. Okay? There has to be a key player somewhere. There has to be a movement. There has to be something that brings underneath the umbrella all religions to say we're going to tolerate everything. And let me tell you something. We watched this on 9/11. There were 26 religions that when 9/11 happened at Yankee Stadium, I believe there was 26 religions that were represented there. Every religion got up and prayed, and then Franklin Graham got up and prayed in Jesus' name. And CNN, MSNBC, they crucified him. Did anybody remember that? They crucified Franklin Graham because he prayed in the name of Jesus. And they didn't do anything else in the other religions. Jesus Christ is the difference maker between everything. And that is why Jesus said in John 14:6, he said, listen, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody goes to heaven except through me to my Father. You can look that up in your Bible, John 14:6. That is a huge claim Jesus made. But what he's saying is, I'm separating Christianity from all other religions. You have to go through me in order to get to heaven. Well, guess what? Our world doesn't like that. The number one reason that there's atheists is because they don't want to give an account to God. It's not that they don't believe that there's a real God. It's because they want to live the way they want to and not give an account to God. That's why they push God out and say, we don't believe in him. I've talked to many atheists, and when it comes down to it, they do not want to give an account to God. So if they can push God out and say God's not real, they don't have to give an account to God for their lifestyle they're living right now. Whereas myself, there is a real God. I will stand before him and give an account one day. And so when you look at this here, it's really interesting. This false religion started back in the book of Genesis. Babylon, Babel. Genesis chapter 10, verse 32. Let me take you here. We're going to read a little bit. Let me take you through the history of this first. Then we'll jump into Revelation 17. So it says, these are the clans of the son of Noah, or the sons of Noah, according to their genealogies and their nations. And watch this, from these nations spread abroad on the earth. What does it say there? After the flood. After the flood, it was just Noah and his sons. So his sons begin to procreate. They begin to have kids with their wives. And then you begin to get nations again. And so as you begin to do that, there's kids being born. And it's interesting because when you turn to Genesis chapter 11, if you want to turn there with me, Genesis chapter 11 tonight, watch what the Bible says here about what is happening with these people. It's very interesting to see in Genesis 11 what is beginning to happen. After the flood, Noah, of course, was saved on the ark and his family, because they honored God, because they were righteous. But what began to happen is, as Noah's sons began to have kids, and then they grew up and their families had kids and more kids, whatever, they began to get farther away from God. And watch what begins to happen here. This is the Tower of Babel. The Tower of Babel, God never instructed anybody to do this. And a matter of fact, on the tower itself was false religion, demonic, and paganistic things that were built on that. It's very interesting. And when you begin to look at this, here's what the Bible says. It says, now the whole earth had one language and the same words. Verse 2, as the people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and Abedimite for mortar. And watch verse 4. Then they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens. I want you to notice that. Because what was happening is Satan had already been kicked out of heaven. Okay, we know that because he was in the Garden of Eden. But what's interesting is this. I find it very interesting that now he's going to use humanity to try to make a stair step back up to heaven, honoring him and worshiping him. And when you begin to see what unfolds here, this is called Babel. Watch this. This gets interesting here. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth. Verse 5. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is the only beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. So, verse 7, come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord dispersed them from all over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore, its name was called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of the whole earth. And from there, the Lord dispersed them all over the face of the earth. So you have Babel, okay? Babel is the root word for Babylon, which we just read in Revelation 17. What's interesting is when you start to study Babel and Babylon, that is where the first false religion started. And how do we know that? Because Nimrod. If you've ever read anything on Nimrod, he was the king over Babylon. That was his kingdom. Nimrod, the Bible says, was a mighty hunter before the Lord. But if you begin to look at that, I've heard pastors preach that he was a mighty hunter and he used his talents for God. That's not true. The history of Nimrod is that he used his mighty hunting talents to kill people and murder people. So he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. He went after God's people because he was the leader of the false religion, the very first false religion that started. And as we read this, it's interesting. You'll see this. So Genesis chapter 11, verse 9, if you can go to the next verse, watch what the Bible says here. The name was called Babel. This is where you get the very first false religion in the Bible that begins to come out against God. And so let's do a little background. Genesis chapter 10, verse 6 says this. The sons of Ham, so that Ham was one of the sons of Noah. The sons of Ham, Cush, Egypt, Put, and then Canaan. And then watch verses 8 through 10. I just wanted to show you this is where this is coming from. Cush had a son named Nimrod. He was the first on the earth to be a mighty man. Okay? So literally, when you think about that, he had some great talents to do some great things. Instead, his heart did not go towards God. His heart went away from God. Watch verse 9 here. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore, it was said, like Nimrod, a mighty hunter before the Lord. Now, verse 10, the beginning of his kingdom, number one, was Babel. Now, when you think about that, I want you to see this, okay? Babel, all through the Bible, and Babylon was never a Christian kingdom, never. Never from its origins or even through the Bible, okay? So that is very well established in the Word of God. There's no arguing against Babylon. It is definitely run off foreign false gods. But who was the king over this? Nimrod. Now, let me give you a little history real quick. And as we look at the verse 9 in chapter 10, we see that he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Be honest with you, when I had read this, if you just read across it, you're like, wow, this guy, God loaded him to be a mighty hunter for God. But when you read the history of Nimrod, and there's many commentaries in history on writing on Nimrod because he killed a ton of people. He was a hunter of people, of good people. I mean, he murdered them down. And when you begin to think about this, it's interesting because then you begin to put the puzzle pieces together. Let me give you a little history real quick on this, because what's interesting about this is that Nimrod, and if you look at history and what history says, here is the nutshell of this. Nimrod tells us about the history of himself. His wife said that their son was miraculously conceived. Okay, she was a virgin, so she miraculously conceived a son. His name was Tammuz. Well, Tammuz is actually mentioned in the Bible. We'll read about him in a moment. Here's what happened. So when she had this kid without Nimrod, and here's the fact, Nimrod married his mother. Did anybody know that? So you're talking already whacked out. This is already weird. All right? This is already paganistic. So, especially sexually immoral. So, when you begin to read this, this is interesting here. Nimrod had nothing to do with this birth of his son, which he did, but the story and the legend goes that he didn't. That his wife was a virgin. She conceived and had a son. And so, what's interesting about this is this, that Tammuz got killed by a wild boar, and for 40 days... all the women and all the men they mourned him for 40 days, and then he was raised back to life. Does that sound like a story anybody knows in the Bible? Sounds a lot like Jesus Christ and Mary, doesn't it? And what's interesting is this. It is not true, but that's the story they started. And that was what's in this false religion. You can look it up yourself if you want to. I'm just trying to save you time. So what's interesting is this. Has anybody ever heard of Lent? Okay. Lent is 40 days. This is where Lent comes from. Lent was birthed out of the mourning of Tammuz, and then he rose from the dead. That's why we don't practice Lent, because of the roots of where that comes from. Lent comes from this story here, where the women mourned for 40 days for Tammuz to come back to life, and he did after he got killed by a wild boar. So as you look at this, it's very interesting to look at history to see where everything comes from. But what's interesting is this, that all of this is a false lie, because we know that the only virgin that ever gave birth to a son was Mary, and that was because the Holy Spirit came upon her. And that's in the Bible. So his mom and him were considered deity or gods to all of the people because she gave a virgin birth. An Egyptian, and in Egypt, her name is known as Isis. Did anybody know that? Very interesting. Her name was known as Isis. And when you begin to look at it, in Rome, she was named Venus and he was named Cupid. So what happened is you have a false religion of a mother and a son that were deemed gods and worshipped. And so Nimrod had this false religion that was happening, and this was going through all of his kingdom in Babylon. And when you begin to look at it, it's interesting because his mother was known as the Queen of Heaven. This is where we're going to get into it tonight. You go, what's the big deal about, who cares about all that, about the Queen of Heaven? Church, if you know anything about a certain denomination that is among the world today, she is known as the Queen of Heaven. That's Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, by the Catholic Church, is known as the Queen of Heaven. You can look it up on Wikipedia right now if you'd like to. When they pray to Mary, they pray to the Queen of Heaven. Now, what's interesting is this. This is all birthed out of this false religion of Tammuz and his mother and Nimrod. It all goes back to Babel. Or Babylon. What's interesting is this. In the book of Genesis, it's the book of beginnings. So this false religion in the book of Genesis starts. Revelation chapter 17, it says it ends. It's going to have a culmination where it ends and it's defeated. But I want you to think about this. From Genesis chapter 11 that we read all the way through history, through Revelation 17, and it's not here yet, but it will be. All of history, false religions have been going crazy. We have got false religions out there that believe if you die, you'll come back as a rat. We have false religions out there that believe that if you go and kill unbelievers, you'll have 72 virgins waiting for you in heaven. Is anybody with me on this? There's no stop to it. And it all started in Babel. That is why John the Revelator in Revelation chapter 17 says, listen, it is going to be a mystery. It's Babylon the Great. Okay, Babylon the Great. It's called Babylon the Great because all false religions will come underneath this umbrella and it will have its culmination. It will have its power and its influence, and we'll see that in a moment. But what's interesting is this tonight. I wanted to show you she was called the Queen of Heaven back in the Old Testament. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, by the Catholic Church, is called the Queen of Heaven. A matter of fact, this week I just talked to somebody that said, I pray to the Queen of Heaven. And I was like, that's very interesting. Can I show you some scripture out of Jeremiah 44 that says you should not pray to the Queen of Heaven? And a matter of fact, if you'd like to, turn over to Jeremiah 44 with me. Because church, here's the deal. Again, I am not going to hammer on a denomination tonight, but you cannot preach the Word of God in Revelation 17 without seeing what the Bible says about the first false religion and then what it says about the Queen of Heaven. And even today, people are praying to the Queen of Heaven, which they call Mary, the mother of Jesus. And church, when we look at Jeremiah here, I mean, you know, I want you to see this for yourself. Jeremiah chapter 44. Jeremiah dealt with this just like we're dealing with this today. You should not pray to anybody but God. And a matter of fact, Jeremiah chapter 44, if you're there in your Bible, it says judgment for idolatry. If you worship or you pray to anybody but Father God in Jesus' name, you are committing idolatry. You're praying to idols. And watch what the Bible says here. Jeremiah chapter 44. If we don't think this is huge for today, church, it's going to take a culmination in Revelation 17 when it gets here. I mean, there are millions upon millions upon millions of people praying to marry the mother of Jesus today. There are millions upon millions upon millions of people that are praying to dead saints. Okay? Saints cannot answer any type of prayer. Matter of fact, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, it is Jesus who is faithful to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Not a human, not a saint, it is the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And so when you look at this here, these people were praying to the Queen of Heaven back in their day, and that was Nimrod's wife. And watch what the Bible says here, starting in verse 15. Then all the men who knew that their wives had made offerings to other gods, lower G there. Anytime you see a lower G on gods, it's a demon god. It's not the real God, it's a demon god, it's a false god. And all the women who stood by, a great assembly of them, all the people who lived in Pathros in the land of Egypt, answered Jeremiah. And here's what they said. As for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, watch what they say there. We're not going to listen to you. I hear the same thing today as a pastor. We don't care what the Bible says. We don't care what that scripture says. We have tradition. I'm not going to let down my tradition. Or guess what? I believe in this and I don't care about what the Bible says. This was happening to Jeremiah back in his day. And guess what? It was over. Praying to people that you should not pray to. That's exactly what it was. Giving your life and sacrifice and offerings to idols. And watch what it says here. It gets very interesting. We will not listen to you. Verse 17. But we will do everything that we have vowed. What we want. Sounds a lot like Nimrod when they built the Tower of Babel, right? It says we will do this for ourselves. Saying false religion is all about me. It's selfish. It's not about Christ. And watch what the Bible says here. We'll do everything that we vowed. We'll make offerings to who? The Queen of Heaven. Now, if we had a moment and everybody had their smartphones out, you literally could type in on Google tonight, right now, Queen of Heaven. It'll come up on Wikipedia and it will say the Queen of Heaven is Mary, the mother of Jesus. That's who they pray to. That is the modern day Queen of Heaven. What you find is the root goes back to the Bible for Nimrod's wife. That's who they called the Queen of Heaven first. So this has been passed on through the Catholic Church to Mary. They call her the Queen of Heaven since she had baby Jesus. Now, church, I'm going to be honest with you. Mary was a human being just like you and I. Okay? Notice I didn't say woman like you and I because I'm a man. All right? But a human being like you and I, God chose her to bring the Son of God into this world. That was his will. That does not mean that we worship Mary. There is nowhere in the Word of God that says that we are to pray to or worship Mary, the mother of Jesus. A matter of fact, you can look at history. Mary passed away. There is a date where she died and when she was buried. She did not resurrect and is alive. I mean, her body is in the tomb. Her spirit is alive and in heaven, just like every other person and Christian that has died as well. But when you begin to look at it, it's interesting because our culture and our world, we literally, I mean, people worship, if they can just touch the Pope, they believe they can be healed. Okay? If they can just get near him or have his blessing, all of their life will be blessed. He's almost like a deity. And what's interesting is he himself prays to Mary. And church, I'm just trying to show you something here. We have got to be very careful to keep our hearts open and be able to reach people with truth, okay, and not be hateful about it. But we also have to be a church that says if the Bible clearly states what the Bible clearly states, we cannot back down on the Bible no matter how anybody feels. Was it fun for you to have to confess your sins to Jesus and get saved? Anybody? No, it wasn't for me. It was embarrassing for me to confess my sins to Jesus and get saved. The things that I did, the things that I said and thought about, the things I based my life on, I had to tell God, please forgive me for living this way for all of this part of my life. It wasn't a fun thing. It was a hurtful thing because I realized I had spent so much time not living for God. And when you begin to think about this, it's interesting because here is all these people, they are worshiping the Queen of Heaven and they pour out drink offerings to her. Do you know what that is? What they used to do, Nimrod worshiped the god of Molech. Molech was the god that they would take their children and they would sacrifice their children and throw their children in the fire to Molech. That's how they sacrificed. So when it talks about the drinking here of their offerings, it's literally of blood. I mean, that's what they would do. And so when you begin to look at it, it's interesting. And it says this as well. As we did, both we and our fathers, kings and officials, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food and we were prosperous. And we saw no disaster when we would pray to the Queen of Heaven. But since we left off making offerings to the Queen of Heaven and stopped pouring out drink offerings to her, we have lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. You know what that was? That's called the judgment of God on them because they worshiped false religion. Watch this in verse 19. And the women said, when we made offerings to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, was it without our husband's approval that we made cakes for her bearing her image and poured out drink offerings to her? I mean, they made cakes bearing her image as well. And verse 20. Watch what the Bible says here. Then Jeremiah said to all the people, men and women, all the people who had given him the answer, as for the offerings that you offered in the cities of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem, you and your fathers, your kings and your officials, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them? Did it not come into his mind? The Lord could no longer bear your evil deeds. And watch the wording here. And the what? Abominations. See, with every false religion, the door is open for anything to go. And that is the problem because there's no standard of God in false religion. False religion is taking a little bit of Christianity and putting hope in there and then doing whatever that leader wants to do or that so-called prophet wants to do. And church, I'll be honest with you. I've been in ministry for 22 years now, full time. I have had people, especially on these topics, literally go, you know what? I can't even dare believe that you would even say these things. Listen, are we going to preach the word of God or are we going to sit back and just skip over chapters? I mean, if you look at this, these people were praying to the Queen of Heaven. All of us have technology at our fingertips, and you literally can type in tonight, who is the Queen of Heaven today? And it will pop up, Mary, the mother of Jesus. And guess what? Millions upon millions of people are praying to the Queen of Heaven today. And church, it is wrong. But yet, this religion will be the umbrella for false religions to come under. When you have one false religion doing things wrong, other false religions will come to it like a magnet. Okay? Persecution is going to come to the true church. Why? Because the true church will not give in to false religion. The true church will stand up against false religion and say, listen, we will preach nothing but Jesus. We will preach nothing but Jesus on the cross. You take the Quran, for instance. The Quran teaches that Jesus did not die on the cross. I mean, I can show you chapter and verse. The Quran teaches Jesus did not die on the cross. He was not crucified. What does the Bible teach? In all four Gospels, Jesus Christ was crucified. He took our sins upon him. Church, when you begin to look at false religions, it's interesting because they leave key things out. But yet, it's still very accepted. You know, here's what the Bible says in closing on this chapter here. The Lord can no longer bear your evil deeds and the abominations that you committed. Therefore, your land has become a desolation and a waste and a curse without inhabitant as it is this day. It is because, watch this, why is your land desolated? Why is your land cursed and wasted? It's because you made offerings and because you sinned against the Lord and did not obey the voice of the Lord or walk in his law or walk in his statutes or walk in his testimonies, that this disaster happened to you as it is this day. And Jeremiah said to all the people and all the women, hear the word of the Lord, all you Judah and all you land in Egypt. What was he saying there? He literally was saying, which really scares me for today, and what's happening is if you want to go ahead and practice false religion and pray to people that are not God, then you will have a bad effect come upon you and your land. And church, people don't like to hear this. That's why you don't hear this preached very much. But I am not a chapter skipper. If we're going to do a book of the Bible, we're going to hit every chapter and every verse. And here's the deal. It all started back in Babel. That is why in Revelation 17, you see the word Babylon. So what was happening with the first false religion? They were praying to a false god. They were praying to a false religious leader. Church, what's happening today? And it's accepted all over the place. It's amazing to me to sit here and think that the church that says, listen, you're doing things wrong because according to the Bible, this is what the Bible says we ought to do. You get stereotyped as narrow-minded, as hated, and a bigot. But if you truly believe that the Bible is the Bible, then church, we have to stand upon the Bible and we cannot drop that standard. Is everybody with me on that? I mean, you can have a different opinion tonight. You work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, but so do I. And I'll tell you this, as we go through chapter 17 tonight, there is no mistaking as we step back and look at our world today. Matter of fact, it even gives the colors of the leaders in Revelation 17. There's no other denomination that has the same colors as what a certain denomination has in their leadership. I mean, when you begin to look at what's happening here, there has to be an avenue for religion to be a part in the last days. And since the Antichrist is going to come and be the leader, he's called anti-what? Christ. So the real church, the real Jesus church, the real Christian church is not going to stand with him. He's called Antichrist. So he's got to have some type of a religious avenue to pull people in. Listen. Religion is the spiritual stuff. People, there's not a greater day in which we live in which people are searching spiritually. That is why if you look at Hollywood, there are so many horror stories and ghost stories and so many things. The supernatural. Hollywood has picked up on that. That's why they're all number one selling movies. Because people are very interested in the supernatural. I mean, when you think about it, our whole world is based on the supernatural. And people get freaked out and people love to mess around with things they can't see. And what's interesting is this. In Jeremiah 44, when these people were praying to the Queen of Heaven, a false god, what happened was it turned around and they reaped what they sowed. And how many of you know that's a principle and a law in the Bible? You will reap what you sow in your life. So, as we look at this tonight, the Queen of Heaven was Nimrod's wife. That's who they were praying to. They looked at her as a god. And then Nimrod's son, Tammuz. In the book of Ezekiel, I did do some hunting on this, but in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 8, watch what the Bible says here, what the men were doing. It wasn't just the women that were worshiping a false god. It was the men. Go to Ezekiel, I'm sorry. Go to Ezekiel. Here's what Ezekiel says. And he said also to me, you will still see greater, what? Abominations. It's interesting because out of the birth of a false religion, any abomination goes. It will be tolerated and accepted eventually if you don't have a standard. So watch this. He said to me, you will see greater abominations that they commit. So it's people. Then he brought me to the entrance of the north gate of the house of the Lord. This is the temple of God. Okay? And behold, what were the women doing in the temple of God? They weren't worshiping God. Watch what the women were doing. They sat there. The women were there weeping for who? Tammuz. Who is Tammuz? Tammuz is Nimrod's son. That is who they hailed as the sun god. Okay? They thought, literally, and this false religion says he was killed. They wept for him for 40 days. That's where people get Lent. And then Tammuz was raised, and he became the sun god. And watch what happens here. Before he was even raised, watch what the men are doing. in the temple. Watch this next verse. Then he said to me, have you seen this, O son of man? And so God's talking to Ezekiel. He says, you will still see even greater abominations than these. You'll see a greater abomination than these women worshiping the son of Nimrod. What are the men doing? Watch this. And he brought me into the inner court of the house of the Lord, into the temple. And behold, at the entrance of the temple of God, the house of God, between the porch and the altar, were about 25 men. What were these 25 men doing? They had their backs to the temple of the Lord. I want you to picture this. Here's the temple of God behind me, right? What were these men doing? Well, the women were over here and they were mourning for Tammuz to come back to life because he was dead, because he was a false god. The men, 25 men, had their backs towards God. And what were they doing? They were facing the east and they were worshiping the sun. It does not say the S-O-N, son of God. It says the S-U-N, son. Now, as we're putting these puzzle pieces together tonight, you go, what does all this have to do with Revelation 17? Everything. Because when a false religion starts, it started out in Babel, which would later become Babylon. That was Nimrod's kingdom. Church, it'll still be the same in the future. I mean, when you begin to think about this, I'll be honest with you. As I've been studying, I didn't know all these puzzle pieces were in the Bible like this. I mean, I've read Revelation and you're like, you scratch your head going, okay, I've heard of Babylon, but what is really Babylon? Well, the Bible really describes it tonight on what was happening in Babylon, with Babel, with Nimrod, a false religion. And so what's interesting is this, the modern day queen of heaven is known as Mary, the mother of Jesus. And so as I began to search a little bit, it's interesting because Revelation 17, 9, our chapter tonight, watch what the Bible says here about Revelation 17, 9. Where is this false religion, this prostitute, this false religion that is not going to have anything to do with God? They'll have a form of God, but they will not be true at all to God or Jesus. Where is this going to happen at? Well, guess what? The Bible says this calls for a mind with wisdom. All you got to do is begin to look at the seven hills or seven mountains. Where is that found at? That is in Rome. And church, there's no other place on earth where that's found. What they call the seven hills or seven mountains, that is Rome. That is where the Vatican is at. That is what Revelation 19 says. This is where this is going to be set up and happening. Now, you may sit here tonight and go, well, Jerry, I've heard some other spins on this. I've heard some other teachings on this. Some people talk about Islam being the main prostitute or another false religion. Church, I'll be honest with you. When you've got scripture backing up like this with the Queen of Heaven, and you've got modern day Mary, the mother of Jesus, hailed as the Queen of Heaven, and millions upon millions and upon millions of people pray to the Queen of Heaven, you can't sit here and bounce around and go, well, I think about this, I think about that. You have to follow the pattern of scripture. And scripture, it says you have to have a mind of wisdom to see where this is going to all take place at. Where? Obviously, it's going to take place in Rome. And Rome is the center point for this. What's interesting is Rome actually adopted this false religion. And a matter of fact, it's really interesting because when you begin to look at it, the chief of Babylon and the false religion would wear a, and this was the chief of Babylon, the chief priest of Babylon. And you can look this up for yourself. He literally would wear a symbol of a fish on his crown, and it was not the Christian fish. This was called Dagon, the fish god. And you can look this up yourself. This is where I found this. The keeper of the bridge. Very interesting. The chief priest of Babylon. Okay, his name, he wore a fish on his crown. It was called Dagon because it was the fish god. So this priest, this false god, was called the keeper of the bridge. Now, what's interesting is he would keep the bridge open, the spiritual bridge open between the God and man of spiritual things. So what would happen would be this. Literally, since they worship demon gods, okay, they picked a priest, okay, to wear a false god symbol on his crown. And again, church, you can look this up yourself. His name was Dagon. He was the fish god. What they would do was this guy would be their bridge guy into the spiritual. If they wanted to connect with a demon, this was the guy that would be the bridge guy to open that up for their demonic encounter or their demonic event. And what's interesting is this. I mean, when you think about this, Jesus Christ was the bridge between man and God. Watch this.
The cross.
Here's God, and here's man, and man can't get back to God because of sin. So who was the bridge to take all sin upon them where man could go back to God?
Jesus.
It is so interesting as you go through history to watch Satan mimic absolutely everything that God does. I mean, even in the book of Revelation, we've seen it. In the Gospels, you see when Jesus got water baptized by John the Baptist, a beautiful picture. The Bible says a voice came from heaven, which was Father God, and he said, listen, I am so well pleased with my son. And the Bible says then a dove came down on Jesus, and that represented the Holy Spirit. You see three. You see Father God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in one picture. Okay? When Stephen got stoned, the Bible says he saw Jesus at the right hand of God, and he was full of the Holy Spirit. You see another picture of the three. Well, what do we see in the book of Revelation? You see the dragon, Satan. You see the beast, the Antichrist. And you see the false prophet. Here's this three team that is taking the world by storm, by evil. And again, Satan is mimicking God. It is done all through history. You can look at every facet, and it's done. Look at sexuality. Sexuality was created to be between a man and a woman in the garden. God did the first marriage. He set it up, and he said a man should leave his father and mother to go be united with whoever. No, he didn't. He specifically said his wife. So there's no redefining marriage. Okay? But what has Satan done? Satan has taken sexuality and said, hey, you can have sex before marriage. You can have sex outside of marriage. You can go ahead and have sex with whoever you want to. A matter of fact, you can do it unnaturally. You can have it with an animal. I mean, church, when you begin to think about it, you can see what Satan has done to pervert everything that God does and God makes. And welcome to our world today. And the only guide that we have is the Bible. I am amazed. As I've been studying this, this is one of the hardest chapters to go through that we've gone through so far. Because we've got to be very careful on what we say and how we present this. But there is no other way to present this. If modern day society calls Mary the mother of Jesus the queen of heaven, then the Bible in Jeremiah 44 has already addressed this, that you do not pray to the queen of heaven because God has nothing to do with that. Has everybody seen that through Jeremiah 44 tonight? I have got several Catholic friends. I mean, several. And we have talked over and over about, I've shown scripture. I have talked to them about salvation in Jesus Christ only. It is not Jesus Christ plus 100 other sacraments. It's not Jesus Christ plus praying to forgiveness for Mary. It's not Jesus plus anything. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone, period. That's what the Bible says. And I love these friends. I respect these friends. They're human beings. But when it comes to biblical standards, they know where I stand, and I do not endorse their beliefs, and especially praying to false idols. And let me tell you something. I've taken some heat for it. Has anybody taken some heat for sticking up for the Bible? But guess what? It's okay. It's all right to stand up for the truth, because if somebody else can prove something different that's not in the Bible, then we need to take a step back and go, hey, I'm very sorry for saying that because I didn't back it up by the Bible. But everything's got to be backed up by the Word of God. And when you begin to look at this tonight, this is very interesting, because right now, millions upon millions upon millions of people, even in the past and in the present right now and in the future, they are worshiping Mary, the mother of Jesus. Now, here's the problem. You want to know where all this started at as well? Is Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. Watch what the Bible says here. When Adam and Eve sinned, okay, the Bible made Adam, or God made Adam, and then he made Eve. He took Eve from his rib, and Adam called Eve woman. You want to know why he did that? Because he took one look at her and said, whoa, man. She's hot, all right? Whoa, man. That's where we got that from. That's the root word, all right? I don't know if that's the root word, but I think that's good. So here's the deal. When you look at this, everything was pure, everything was good, and there was the leadership and the marriage and everything was perfect until sin entered in. And then watch what God says will happen with what woman will do towards her husband. Watch this. Then God said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. Is there any woman that says that is true tonight? Any woman? It's true, isn't it? There's no escaping that one. That's why every lady is going to go up and punch Eve right in the face when you see her. And be like, why did you sin? You know, that hurt having my kids, all right? I mean, when you look at this, that is a very true statement right there. Now watch the rest of this. And he tells the woman, Eve, you will desire to control your husband. You'll desire to have his authority and his leadership, but he will rule over you. Now, there's a lot of women that have been very upset with this scripture here. But let me tell you what's happened. What has happened is even in what we call religion or the church, we are now worshiping a woman instead of God. Does anybody see that? From this point here, God said that a woman will try to, in other versions it says she will desire to have her husband. Well, a lot of pastors have preached that that means sexually. She'll have a desire. That's not what that means. The New Living Translation is the closest translation I literally have found to this. And this is what it says. And you will desire to control your husband. You will desire to take his place. You'll desire to be the leader in the family. You'll desire to be in control of the family. And church, that's not how God made it. God didn't make it to where a husband will thumb his wife. He didn't make it to where a God will snap his fingers and she brings him tea. I mean, that's what our society has done with that. And men have abused that. What it is this leadership, this umbrella, this authority umbrella that says man is the protector of the home. Man is the provider of the home. That's the way God had made it. And what happens is you've seen it in religion. Satan has twisted this to where we have taken away our worship from God the Father, and now we worship Mary, the mother of Jesus. It's very interesting to watch. And what the Bible says is this, and it's interesting, because the Bible says there'll be an exposing of this false religion. Watch what the Bible says here. Point number three. The exposing of this false religion, Revelation 17:1, the Bible calls her the great prostitute. Well, who is the great prostitute? It's a church. It's going to be a church. It's going to be a religion. Why is that? Because she's not going to be faithful to God. Let me break this down for a moment. The church right now is called the bride of Christ, right? Jesus is the groom. The church is his bride. The Bible says he will come back for his bride one day. Okay? It does not say he will come back for his prostitute. So this is very interesting here. Why? Because what should be the church worldwide that honors Jesus and honors God has taken perversion. They've taken bits and pieces of the gospel of Jesus and they have formed their own religions and added so many things to it that they're called the prostitute now. You will see in Revelation 17 and when the future comes, and we're watching it right now, that false religions are coming like a magnet together. Okay? I mean, literally, it's in it. Now, you look at ISIS. ISIS is very radical, and they are killing. They're going after Christians like crazy and chopping Christians' heads off. But you will see. You'll begin to see Islamic imams. You'll begin to see Jewish rabbis like we saw in the picture. You'll begin to see religions come together. A matter of fact, I've got a video I'm going to show probably in the next couple of weeks, just a clip of a Jewish rabbi that was filmed last year. And he literally said, we are waiting so desperately for the temple to be rebuilt in Jerusalem. And he said, this is the beauty of it. We have the Islamic mosque and we will have the temple be rebuilt. And even though the Islamic mosque says Jesus is not the Son of God, that is okay. We can all worship together because we will have our two buildings here and we can be in peace. Church, you can't be in peace. If they're going to build a temple and sacrifice back to God, eventually they're going to see that Jesus Christ is the sacrifice and they don't have to do that anymore. And then you've got a building right next door on the same acreage right there that says Jesus is not the Son of God. How can you have peace with that? But these rabbis are wanting the temple built so much, they're pushing stuff aside and going, we can coexist. Now, all I'm saying tonight is this. As you begin to take a look at your world and a look at my world, let's look at the Bible and let's filter it through the Bible. Let's not do stereotypes. Let's not do traditions. Let's stick with Scripture. Will Scripture bring the heat on you? Yes, it will. But are you a Christian? If you're a Christian, you stand up for Jesus. I mean, you got to think about that. If we are Christians and we are true believers in Jesus, then we do not let Jesus down and we are not ashamed of him. And we do not cower down. And we do not back down on what Scripture says. And we have seen that watered down so much. When you begin to look at it, it's just called the great prostitute. What is a prostitute? Being unfaithful. If somebody goes and hooks up with a prostitute, then you are paying for sex. You're unfaithful to your spouse. And what's interesting is this. Nineveh was doing this. This is why God sent Jonah to Nineveh, because God was getting ready to judge Nineveh. And he said, listen, Jonah, there's 120,000 infants and children in Nineveh. I don't want to judge Nineveh. So I'm sending you to go. I don't want to see these innocent kids wiped out because of the adults' adultery and their fornication. They have turned against me. They used to worship me, and now they have turned against me. So, Jonah, I'm sending you to go to them to tell them to repent. If they do not repent, judgment will hit Nineveh. So, Nahum talks about this. Watch what Nahum says about this prostitute called Nineveh that turned on God. The Lord is slow to anger, and he is great in power. And the Lord will by no means clear the guilty. If you're guilty, you're guilty before God. Watch this. His way is in a whirlwind and a storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea, and he makes it dry. He dries up all the rivers. Bashan and Carmel wither. They literally wither down, and the bloom of Lebanon has no growth, no greenery, no life. What he's saying here is that, listen, if Nineveh does not turn and repent for being a prostitute and unfaithful to God as a nation, I'm going to bust her. And church, when you look at that, that's not the only place. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 21, Isaiah talked about this with the Israelites. It says, how the faithful city, Jerusalem, has become a what? A whore. I mean, that's the Bible right there. And the Bible even talks about the whore of Babylon. Anybody read that? I mean, when you begin to look, all I'm trying to show you is this. The reason Revelation 17 talks about the prostitute from Babylon, that Babylon the Great will be the great prostitute, the mother of all prostitutes, is because that false church will have been unfaithful to God. It will be a religion, and it might even have a facade on the front that says, come, there's hope and there's peace. And when you get involved in it, you're worshiping demon gods. And the Bible says the church, I mean, we can sit here all night and I can show you scriptures on where God rebuked the nation of Israel for being a prostitute and cheating on him. God did so much for Israel. He loves Israel, and Israel would return and worship their foreign gods. Israel would not marry the ladies that God had made for that nation. They would go outside and marry foreign women, which served foreign gods. And God knew that if they did that, they made ties with them. Not only would it be a sexual tie, it'd be a spiritual tie, and these men would end up worshiping their foreign god. I mean, everybody looks at God and says, God's so mean in the Old Testament because he didn't let Israel do this. Well, you know why he got on Israel all the time? Because Israel kept going back and worshiping foreign gods. And history repeats itself. I mean, when you begin to look at this here, and it's not just this. I mean, she was full of justice. Righteousness lodged in her, but now murderers are everywhere. She had become unfaithful to God. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 15. Watch what the Bible says again about Israel. But you trusted in your beauty. You played the whore because of your renown and lavished your whorings on any passerby. Your beauty became his. I mean, Ezekiel, I mean, when you begin to look at this, he is pounding the nation of Israel going, listen, you have been unfaithful to your God and you have become a prostitute and a whore towards God. Because you pray to foreign gods. You serve foreign gods. You do not honor the God of heaven. And when you begin to look at that, church, it's really interesting because it shows you in Revelation 17 what he means by when he says Babylon the Great, the mother of all prostitutes. This false religion, this system that is coming, this religious system, will be the mother of all unfaithfulness to God. And it will draw the inhabitants of the earth to it. I mean, when you talk about peace, we hear about peace all the time, don't we? Let's have peace. Everybody just needs to be in peace. Everybody needs to tolerate one another. Well, here's the deal. How can you tolerate if somebody is leading someone astray in a foreign religion and a foreign God? How can I sit and tolerate that and not share the truth? Anybody with me? And guess who the backlash comes on? The Christian. I mean, honestly. I mean, in the movements that are out there today, if Christianity or the Christian church says anything towards lifestyles that don't line up with the Bible, we get crucified for it. But nobody does anything and tolerates what they say about the church. It is so one-sided, it's sick. And when you look at this here, it is just setting the stage for what is to come on a massive worldwide scale. So, underneath number three there, we see the great prostitute. That's going to be a false religion, and it's going to have to come through a denomination or a church setting because people like the supernatural. And the Antichrist is not stupid. He knows when catastrophes happen. I mean, look at what we do right now. Our church, we support Convoy of Hope. If there's an earthquake, if there's a tsunami, I mean, Convoy of Hope is there within a day or two, set up, giving food, water, clothes. In Joplin, they were there within 6 hours with semi-loads of water and food and clothing for people in Joplin after the tornado. Okay? This Antichrist that is coming is not stupid. He knows that the community and the world needs religion because people turn to religion when catastrophe happens. Their hearts are wide open towards something because they're hurting so bad. And so this is just setting the stage for it. Underneath your point number three on your first page, the influence and authority of this false church is going to be massive. How do we know? Well, look at Revelation chapter 17, verse 2. Watch what the Bible says here. So it says, here's this great prostitute with whom the kings of the earth have committed sexual immorality. What does that mean? Listen, when you talk about kings, you're talking about kings, dictators, and presidents. You're talking about nations' leaders. So this is saying that nations' leaders will be involved in this false religion intimately. That's what it's saying here. And watch this. This is very interesting here. And the wine of whose sexual immorality the dwellers on the earth have become drunk. It's not just going to be the kings and priests and presidents of nations. It's going to be earth's inhabitants that are going to be in this. Watch and mark my words, church. And I'll mark your words as well because I think we're all on the same page here, hopefully. That true Christianity, people that truly believe in the Word of God, in Jesus Christ, that He's the only way, mark my words, it will backlash on the true church. There's no other way. When you stand up against false religion and you begin to expose false religion that is not backed up by the Bible, people get angry. People get hateful. People gnash their teeth. Read Acts at the stoning of Stephen. He stood up. I want you to read the story of Stephen in Acts. Go home and read that tonight, and you tell me if he deserved to be stoned. Please. That man said nothing in there that deserved death. He told them the truth about Jesus, and the Bible says they gnawed their teeth at him, and they took stones, and they murdered him. I want you to think about that. If we say that history repeats itself with the Nazis and communism and all this stuff, and all of us are very alert in our day, we know that it takes one evil dictator to change the world around. We know that. And church, we are at a boiling point on several points in our world and nation today. We all watch that. I think all of us in here are pretty aware that's why America's Second Amendment is very personal to all of us. That way no tyrant can come and take over the people, okay? I mean, I am very pro-Second Amendment because we wouldn't be sitting here tonight if it weren't for our early Americans standing up and fighting a tyrant. We wouldn't have our freedoms today. It'd be a totally different America. And I've always found that interesting how people will say today, well, you know what, we don't need to push that, believe in that. Well, listen, how did you get here in the first place in worshiping your freedom in America? We should have been under a tyrant. We should have been under all their laws. And instead, we had people fight for our freedom, and we are America today. I mean, honestly, that's who we are today. So when you begin to look at these scriptures here, Revelation chapter 17, verse 2 says, the kings of this earth and then the dwellers on the earth will be so mixed in with this false religious system. They'll be intimately. And a matter of fact, when you look at this, this is very interesting. Kings, dictators on the back of your page, kings, dictators, presidents will all be deceived into this false religion. This means the influence of every nation and will be powerful. This means the authority of all these kings and dictators will be evil. It will not be for God. Now, I want you to think about that. How a king goes, a nation goes, unless that nation fights against evil. I mean, it's going to be the setup. And when you begin to look at this, it's interesting because then it begins to give you a picture here of what this false church and false religion is going to be doing. It's very interesting here because here's what the Bible says. And as you look at this, it's very interesting. Revelation chapter 17, verse 3 gives you a picture here of a very intimate picture. And I'm not trying to be perverted tonight, but once you look at the scripture, you will see what happens sexually when someone gets with a prostitute. Watch this picture here. And he carried me away in the spirit into a wilderness. This is John saying that the Holy Spirit was showing him this vision still. And watch what he sees here. And I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast. Very interesting here. Because we've been talking about a prostitute. Now, I'm not trying to be perverted tonight. But if you keep in context with Revelation 17, it says that this Antichrist, it's showing a picture that this Antichrist has given himself intimately over to this prostitute. I want you to see this. I'm not trying to be perverted tonight. But if we're keeping in context with what Scripture said in chapter 17, 1 and 2 about a prostitute, we also have to keep that same context in verse 3. And it shows here that the Antichrist, it says scarlet beast. That's the first time we've seen that, right? We've been through this whole book almost. It's never mentioned scarlet beast, always the beast, right? Scarlet beast. What do we read in Isaiah? Though your sins be like what? Scarlet. Though your life is stained with sin. Though your life is covered with sin. It's the forgiveness and blood of Jesus Christ that can wash it white as what? Snow. When you look at the word scarlet, what it's showing here is this, that this Antichrist, this main dictator, is going to give himself over to this false religion intimately, okay? And it will be stained with sin. It's very interesting when you begin to look and break it down, the imagery you get here. Because the Antichrist will be very intimate with this false religion. But what's interesting is this. As we read on, the Antichrist will turn on his prostitute and he will destroy her. Okay? Listen, any evil that starts out will get even more evil and anything goes. Is everybody with me on that? If you have an abusive situation, you can have somebody promise all day long they'll never do it again. But if abuse is in that person's heart, they will beat the person again. And they'll beat the person again. Is anybody with me on that? That's what's going to happen here. It will start out as this love affair between this dictator, the Antichrist, and this false religion that comes. Oh, he and this false church will be so close. They'll be so intimate. He'll be so close with this prostitute that is unfaithful to God. And then all of a sudden, you'll begin to read where it's going to take a turn. A matter of fact, let me take you to Revelation chapter 17, verse 16. And there's going to be a moment here where the Antichrist will turn. I know we're jumping a few verses ahead, but here it is. It says, and the 10 horns, okay, which are the 10 kings that you saw, it says they, so we know they're people, they and the beast will hate the prostitute. Isn't that interesting? In verse 3, the Antichrist will let the prostitute sit on him. They'll be very intimate, the church, this false church and he together. And then all of a sudden, by the time you get to verse 16, it says that the 10 kings, literally, they will hate the prostitute. They will make her desolate and naked and devour her flesh and burn her up with fire. So here's the deal. How many of you know once evil gets started, evil can do anything it wants to? That's the picture here. So this false church that's not going to follow Jesus at all is going to think that she has it made. This false religion is going to think we have got it because we have got the major evil dictator of the world. And the Bible says that this dictator and his elite will turn on this false church and destroy them. You know, as I read all of this, I got to tell you, I got to sit back and go, it is worth every bit staying faithful to Jesus Christ. I mean, honestly, could we pay an ultimate price one day? Yes, we could. I'm not here to tell you that America won't see a backlash on Christianity and standing up for the Bible. They're already reprinting the Bible right now, gender friendly. They're already taking things out of the Bible that offend people. How much longer do we have as a really hardcore Christian church to stand on the Bible that we have now? I mean, last year we watched where a bakery didn't want to bake a rainbow cake for a wedding, for a gay marriage. And the husband and the wife got fined $135,000 each. They lost their home. They lost it all because they did not want to bake a rainbow cake for a gay couple getting married. Because they were Christians, and they said, listen, you've taken the first promise of God, which is a rainbow, and the first covenant sign of God, and you have perverted it. They stood up for that, and they got pounded for it. And church, I'm just here to tell you tonight, we have had a really good smooth sailing in the church for a long time, and I'm wondering if we are getting ready to see the ripple effects. I'm wondering if we're getting ready to see the tides change. And it really makes us stop tonight. I mean, honestly, my heart, man, as a pastor sometimes, it gets discouraged. Because we can run 300 adults on a Sunday morning, and you see who shows up on a Wednesday night. And as a pastor, I sit here and I go, God, where's the hunger of our people at? Where's the hunger of our people to say, I want to know what God's word really says and be prepared for what is coming? And as I look at that, church, man, I pray God blesses your heart for being here all these Wednesdays. You guys have been with us for almost a year coming up in September through this one book. And I pray that God has prepared your heart. I pray that God has made you more solid. And church, there are things to come. There's no escape from the things that are to come. There's not going to be, you know, if the true church is going to stand up, then we are going to face some things. We better get some grit and we better get some faith in Jesus today. Because tides are changing very quick. I mean, listen, just the fact that our nation's capital would throw a rainbow up and not put blue up for our police officers tells me a lot about our leader today. Seriously. Now, you might sit here tonight and go, come on, Jerry. Listen, I'm telling you, all you got to do is look. A picture's worth 1,000 words. We're having police officers shot every single day, and we can't throw lights up to say, we love you guys, thank you for serving and protecting us. And yet we'll celebrate perversion. So welcome to America. Welcome to our nation. And as you begin to think about it, it's interesting because on C, on your back page there, it's covered with blasphemous names. So this false church, this prostitute, this antichrist, it's going to have blasphemous names on it. Blasphemous names of what? Against God. I mean, when you think about that, this false church, this false religion is going to be so against God. I mean, go ahead and go to Revelation 17 where that's at, the next scripture. Watch what it says here. It says it was full of blasphemous names. While the woman was sitting on the scarlet beast, it was full of blasphemous names towards God. They're saying, you know, Lord Jesus, you're not the Son of God. You didn't come and die on the cross. We are the true church. I mean, blasphemy against God, the Father, God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that's going to be the basis of this religion. On D, the clothing and the wealth of the prostitute, of the false church. You talk about money, they're going to have it. And watch this, very interesting here on this next scripture here. Watch this. The woman or the prostitute will be arrayed in purple and scarlet. The church, there is only one religion where its leaders have purple and scarlet. I'm not even going to mention it tonight because all you got to do is a little digging and you can find out. I mean, when you look at it, the Bible's giving very specifics here. And it says it's adorned with gold and jewels and pearls, very wealthy. But holding in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and impurities of her sexual immorality. It's going to be a very unfaithful religion and church. And when you begin to look at it, it's interesting because you can begin to see how John saw details now of what this false religion is going to look like. On E, the prostitute will turn against true believers. This false church, and it's very interesting because I did some digging. And as you do digging, you're going to find stuff. It's very interesting to see. And let me see where right here. As we read this, I want to show you this Revelation chapter 17, verse 6. This false church is going to turn on true believers in Jesus and murder them. Watch this. And I saw the woman, the prostitute, this false church, this false religion, drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of the martyrs of who? Jesus. Those who believed in Jesus. Now, I want to show you something here because as I begin to look, it's very interesting. The Inquisition, 1 million people killed by Roman Catholics. 50 million people by the Roman Catholic Church in its entire existence. 50 million slaughtered. And as you begin to look at that, it's very interesting because every puzzle piece we've looked at, you may walk out of here tonight and go, Jerry, that's pretty bold of everything you've said about what's coming and how you have pinned that. I'm not real sure about that. Church, that's okay. That's up to you. But as I begin to look at what modern day is and what we call modern day stuff and what the Bible says, there is no question in my mind whatsoever. I am 100% for sure in my heart on this, that we know exactly the avenue of the church in which this false religion is going to be set up, period. And again, you may differ on this. That's okay. The Bible says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I'm working mine out. And I'm also watching very closely. And as you begin to look at this, it's interesting because on F, the Bible says John was astonished when he saw the prostitute. When he saw the prostitute doing what? Killing the people of Jesus. I mean, watch this. It says right here, and go ahead and go to the next one there. It says, and I saw the woman, the prostitute, drunk with the blood of the saints, killing the people of Jesus. When I saw her, it says, I marveled greatly. I think John was shocked because of the scene that he saw. And it hadn't happened yet. God was just showing him so he could write it down in the Bible. It's coming. But I believe what this shows is he is shocked that people can say, I'm a part of a church or part of a religion and kill innocent people and murder them because they believe in God. And watch what it says. I marveled greatly when I saw this prostitute. I mean, in shock. And church, to be honest with you, everything we've been through in the book of Revelation so far, it is pretty shocking so far on what's to come. I mean, there's been several Wednesday nights I've gone home, and when I sit down, I take a deep breath, and I'm like, we just went over some heavy-duty stuff tonight. This has been the hardest book to put together and study for in my 22 years of ministry. I mean, honestly, I have never gone through such a harder book in my life. But it amazes me, the puzzle pieces you find when you read the Bible. Absolutely amazes me. From Old Testament to New. From culture to culture. So in closing tonight, I want to give you two things tonight. Number one, be careful. Church, I say this with everything I've got. Be careful. Watch your doctrines and watch your beliefs. Do not let anything make your beliefs in the Word of God slide. Don't let anyone or anything convince you of anything else besides the Word of God. Yes, we have different denominations. I've got Baptist friends. I've got Catholic friends. I have got Lutheran friends. I've got Methodist friends. They're all different pastors. Okay, I know people. And let me tell you something. Among each of those, I believe what I believe through the Bible and what Scripture says, so do they. We have some differences on things. And a matter of fact, between myself and one of the fathers that I know in the Catholic Church, we have major differences. But it doesn't mean I hate him. I've tried to share Scripture. Well, he shares what the Catholic Bible says. And I say, no, I share what the Bible says. And we've talked back and forth and shared things. And it doesn't mean I hate him. But I will tell you this. I'm not going to change my belief system because my belief system is based on Scripture. Be careful of your doctrine. Doctrine is changing so fast. the doctrine of hell right now, I cannot even begin to tell you how many pastors I know personally that teach that hell is not a real place anymore. I mean, church, I have battled big time with people that are very dear and close to me. And I said, show me in Scripture where you find that. And let me open up to Luke 16 and show you, and Matthew and show you. I mean, church, be very careful not to let your doctrine slide. You know, when you begin to look at this, it's interesting. And I put a quote down here. John Lindell said a quote a long time ago. And when he quoted this, I never forgot it. He said, it is better to be divided by truth than to be united by error. It is better to be divided by truth with a few people than to be united with everybody in error. That is an amazing statement right there. It is better for you to stick with the truth and be the outcast or be the person that is looked upon going, how dare you say that? How dare you believe that? I would rather stick with the truth and be divided on the truth and with truth than be united with many in error. Is everybody with me on that? People are just coming together going, we believe this and we believe that. Listen, this is the word of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anything other than Jesus is not going to be truth. So I'm telling you, the water, I mean, the pump is primed for many things to happen. And church, this is why your prayer and your Bible reading is so important with you personally, not just with the church. You have to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ so strong because we do not know what we will face. So listen, watch, be very careful. Watch your six. Watch your doctrine. Watch your beliefs. Watch your back. You cannot mix Jesus with anything else. If you mix Jesus with anything else, then you have just prostituted the truth. You cannot do that. And I'll tell you what, the world hates this message right here, big time. And that is probably why we see so few on our Wednesday nights. I mean, honestly, church, when you really start to dig and get into the nitty-gritty of what the Bible is about, I mean, you begin to look and really go, man, we really have a hunger for God and really want to know what's happening. Number two, don't ever be ashamed of Jesus. If there's anything I can tell you tonight, be careful of your doctrine and do not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. In closing, I have two scriptures for you. Watch what the Bible says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of this Bible. I am not ashamed of the message of Jesus. And watch what he says here. If you're not ashamed of this and you'll stand up for it, it literally is the power of God for salvation to everybody who believes. If you stand up for Scripture and stand up for Jesus and you'll share this with people, this is the power. The power will get inside their heart and change their mind, change their heart. And Jesus gives a very strict warning. Jesus, I mean, if you were here Sunday morning, we turned over tables in here. That's what Jesus did. Jesus said, I don't want anything false in my house. This is a house of prayer, and you've made it a den of thieves. And Jesus came in with a whip. I didn't bring a whip in. Did you notice that? I didn't want to pop that thing and pop my eyeball out or something. That's a little dangerous. But here's the deal. I mean, Jesus came in, and if there was something wrong, he took care of it and cleaned it up. Watch this warning that he gives in Mark. Mark chapter 8. Now again, Paul said in Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel. But watch Mark chapter 8. Here's Jesus, the words of Jesus. For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Man, I'll be honest with you. There is not anything in me that will ever take a chance of not standing up for God, because when Jesus returns a second time, everything will be worth that. And church, I just wanted to maybe raise our conviction levels up a little bit tonight. Be careful of your doctrines. Please, please hear me tonight. Just because somebody is drawing thousands and tens of thousands of people to come listen to them, be very careful what they're teaching. America loves to jump on the bandwagon of excitement. And I literally am watching thousands and thousands of people follow false pastors and teachers across this nation. They are not preaching anything about Jesus. And they are doing everything that you could even imagine under the sun and calling it the Holy Spirit. Look at the Bible and guide everything out of your doctrines with the Bible. And church, don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of him. I just want to pray tonight. I know this was a long one tonight, but we had to give some scriptures tonight to show you who the... That's a lot of scriptures to show who one prostitute's going to be, right? My goodness, we could have just said, hey, Revelation 17, there's a prostitute, it's going to be a false church and a false religion, the Antichrist is going to hook up with her and it's going to be bad. Let's go home, all right? We probably could have got that, but I wanted to show you through scripture tonight what false religions are doing today by praying to people they shouldn't, and it was even happening in the Bible, and the Bible condemns it. So as we pray tonight, let's pray over these last two closing things. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for everybody that's here tonight. God, you see my heart. God, you see that we are trying to stick with Scripture and interpret Scripture with Scripture. And Father, our culture even gives us things that are going on right in front of our eyes. And I pray tonight that every family, every person in this place, God will protect. They will protect their doctrine and their beliefs in your word. God, our convictions will be so strong and built around your word. I pray that fear will not cause us to change it. I pray that fear will not cause us to back down from your word. Help us to be people that are not ashamed of the gospel. Lord, if we stand up for you now, you will stand up for us now and later. And I pray tonight that, God, you would put your Holy Spirit inside of us even more. Father, that we would not be ashamed of you or your message. Even if it becomes super unpopular, help us to stand on your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, thank you for being here tonight. Thank you for being a great audience tonight. And I really hope you're growing. I really hope you look at the scriptures for yourself. You always need to do that, all right? Don't just go off of what I say. Look at the Bible for yourself, all right? And that's why we preach. I've been asked, why do you guys preach so many scriptures? Why wouldn't we? You don't want to come hear my opinion. You want to come hear the word of God. So thank you for being here tonight. This was probably the longest one we've done so far, but hey, it is what it is. So we will be faithful to God, right? We will not give in. So, all right, we'll see you Sunday morning. It's going to be great. And also, if you're here from another church, have great service this Sunday morning. All right. Thank you for being here. God bless you guys.